cash.
Thank
I had a party on Sunday.
Oh.
My 80th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You have the same birthday as my mom.
Really?
Is it the 7th? January 7th.
Well, actually, the birthday was the 9th, but we celebrated. It was not yet, it was Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Sunday.
Yeah, the 7th.
Yeah.
That my mom turned
80
as well.
Aww.
Ah.
Twins.
All right, Chair Larson, would you like to call to order?
He's not.
No.
Okay. I'll do the roll call.
Can you start with a call to order with the time?
Call to
order.
It is 4:06.
Okay. It is now what?
4:06.
4:06. Very good. Okay. Trustee Halloran?
I could do the roll call.
Go ahead.
What?
I could do roll call.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good.
Trustee Clark is not here. Trustee Ellison?
Here.
Trustee Moffitt? Not here.
Not here.
Vice Chair Halloran?
Here.
And Chair Larson.
Here.
Okay,
we have no people addressing the board today.
We have,
actually, we do.
We have one.
Oh, good.
Speaker.
Okay.
We have Robert Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go over here. Hello, board.
Hello
there, all of you. Welcome to 2024. My public comment today is in regards to public comments and the process that the public uses to comment with the agenda and how to engage with the board. When I went on to the agenda,
mm-hmm.
they have a comment button that you click it and then it takes you to the one that you can make comments with. There's
mm-hmm.
the PDF version and then there's the one on the back end. The back end one for your specific commission today or board was not accepting public comments.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, for the reasons being, there are no public comments today, according to what the city told me in my ear just 20 minutes ago when city clerk called me. I forward them on the audits to make sure that if there is a problem, the city clerk knows right about it.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And so they've already notified me that they've notified their vendor that they're having problems.
Okay.
Because it's not a software that we own.
Yeah.
It's something that we're buying. So it's already in the process to be fixed, but the point of me telling you is so you know what is going on within your own board.
Cool.
I do appreciate you guys showing up. The library, the other board for the library, did not have their first meeting for the year. It's the same day cancellation.
Hmm.
And we try not to have those things, right? And I'm trying to reinforce that the board members show up.
There's another board.
They couldn't get a quorum. They couldn't get a quorum.
What?
It's I'm going through so many board names in my head right now. You guys are the board
for
of
library
trustees.
Trustees.
Mm-hmm.
This is the board. It might be. I may have them confuse arts.
Oh, cultural arts.
Cultural arts.
That may be off. Just I know we meet here.
Yes,
so
it's cultural arts commission.
Yeah, that's
okay.
For my. But I just have to look up that name. But anyways, they didn't pass it because they didn't show up.
Okay.
So my only thing is to reinforce to the board, you're here to show up to represent us, and I appreciate you showing up and having this meeting today.
Cool.
And I thank you for your public you know, look out for our emails because they come in all directions.
Sure. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We have this way of commenting that obviously isn't working.
Yes.
Who monitors that?
Erwin would normally be the one to receive them, and he should be reading it to you. Well, obviously, there's nothing to read.
He would announce it.
He's like, I checked. And he actually, you did ask that at the last one, and he said, I checked, there was nothing. But now we know why.
Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes.
I motion to approve.
I second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carried.
Okay. We need to discuss
possible action regarding elaborated rules of conduct. Did everybody have a chance to read those?
I did.
Any comment about that?
The only comment I had was on the form was to put the revision number of the document so people know what version they're filling out.
Right.
Oh, one. Are you talking about meeting room?
Yeah.
Oh, go back to where we're on rules of conduct.
Rules of conduct.
Yeah.
So that one I didn't have any, but it looks like there is an effective date on there.
Right. Yeah, April 16th,
2010. I was a little bit concerned about the homeless people sleeping outside and people camping outside the library. Is there any way we can curtail that? Is that just not in our jurisdiction?
Well, I'm the director of the Civic Center, by the way, Allison Hamlin.
Yes, Allison.
Yeah, so, you know, it depends. It's very common with libraries. We did speak to the homeless outreach team, and we've noticed that it's been better as far as not having encampments on the deck since we cut the electrical to the deck itself. It used to be that we had a timer, so it was on. Because originally people would just sit in the chairs we had outside, was the phone, but we had people with like boom boxes and microwaves, and
right.
It was getting a little crazy.
Sure.
So I've noticed just in the less than a week since we started that, there's been an improvement. But I mean, on a human level, you know, it's...
You can't.
Yeah, it's also, it's cold, and I think they feel safe because they're across from the police station,
sure.
And until we have a better alternative for them, there's not, to my knowledge, much we can do as far
no,
as that
and
goes.
I think, you
I
know,
understand.
At last night's city council, they had a conversation regarding homelessness in general, so as we see kind of policy change, that might change, but for right now, I mean... If they're adhering to the rules of conduct for the library, we don't necessarily,
That's an important thing.
And I even looked at, because we had a problem with shopping carts for a while. Like, everybody had a shopping cart. And so there is a law under California state law that's to protect businesses, and it's basically about the loss of the shopping cart as an asset. But there's a thing on the Chula Vista City's website, which is like, we don't prosecute if you're found with a shopping cart. Like, it's not a good use of officers' time, basically.
Right.
And if we just showed up at a random Dollar General and was like, here's your cart back, do you want to press charge? It's like, no one's, the average employee in front of us isn't going to do that.
Yeah.
But there are some rules about, you know, being in possession of a taking one. So we could potentially look into that, I guess. But it just doesn't seem like our next bet is we're going to look at possibly having a way to seal off the deck at night. It won't stop you from being able to hop the fence. It's a very low fence.
Just the deck?
Yeah,
yes.
The concrete is on the back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was where we had a lot of people having like full tents and things like that. And while it wouldn't stop someone from hopping the fence, they wouldn't be able to like wheel things on there or like chain their bike to it, things like that. So that is another measure we're taking.
Yeah, I understand. I almost tripped over a wheelchair coming into the meeting tonight.
No.
Oh.
It was just running. It was kind of loose.
Yeah.
And the guy was not anywhere near it, but I didn't see it in time. I tripped over it slightly, so just wasn't.
Yeah.
And with
need
that,
to remind them about it.
I actually know exactly whose wheelchair you're talking. Well, I don't know who the person is, but basically I've started making announcements because they'll leave it unattended, and I'll say, you know, you have 10 minutes and then I'll be moving unattended property outside the building.
Exactly.
And as we've started doing that, it's, I think it kind of is hit or miss, and we were doing better before the holidays, but maybe it's gotten used to while the staff was on vacation, so we're going to try to do that. Because same with when we got, people used to put bikes in there too, and it was the same thing, it was a tripping hazard.
Sure.
But we purchased bike locks and cataloged them actually, so they can check out a bike lock, lock up their bike, and bring it back when they're done using the library. But yeah, I slip with that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sometimes just a reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Periodically.
Yeah, okay.
Now, do you get any violent interactions when you ask people to do that, or is it safe to have?
Yeah.
Yes.
It happens.
I think I have more of a problem because of the way the lobby is here. It's more of a problem with unintended property. What has helped a lot over the past few months is there's four outlets in the lobby and we got them locked. So we can unlock them when like the fire department's here and the flu shot and we have someone tabling with their laptop. But that seems to have stopped people congregating because I had someone like sitting on his bike and charging his phone. Like, you can't do it. He's like, well, I'm not leaving unattended. I'm like, still.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for some ways to do it, but it kind of it can escalate. People can get very upset. So we try as much as possible to offer alternatives if we're saying no to something.
Okay.
Did you have any recommendations?
Do I?
For changes, for...
Well, not really. I mean, I think the rules of conduct are quite good the way they are.
Okay.
Trustee Clark was not able to make it today, but he did send in his suggestion for the rules of conduct, and he says he would like to add something such as, number one, engaging in partisan political activity or supporting an initiative being presented to the City Council or Chula Vista voters, except for a library-sanctioned debate among candidates for Chula Vista political office or debate between proponents and opponents of a Chula Vista ballot initiative. And then he also mentioned, number two, is sleeping or camping on library grounds is prohibited.
That's,
yeah. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, I agree with that about partisan people trying to bring an agenda and mm-hmm. promote it. When I was at the Newport Library, we had a speaker series, and we had people who had partisan, most of them were liberal, 90%,
mm-hmm.
and the conservatives would complain, but they would never offer an alternative to,
mm-hmm.
and we had full house, you know, we had full participation, so.
Well, I saw in the news thinking that's why this is being brought up, that Coronado's having an issue with that one.
Yes,
yeah.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And as it is as well.
Yeah.
We did, I don't know if it's relevant, but we did run into something recently where somebody wanted to collect signatures for like an item that would potentially be on the ballot. It probably wouldn't make on the ballot. And I had to talk to the city clerk and the city attorney. And basically when I talked to the city attorney, they were like, you're getting into like really murky First Amendment territory.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a public grounds. So the best I could do was, we do have two voter drop-off boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we try to use the electioneering clause, and we can't be within 100 feet. Mm-hmm. And we measured exactly 100 feet from the entrance to the auditorium to each of those boxes. So, you know, we can kind of try to delegate a spot in the portico along the front where they could be, and I know that, you know, some libraries actually have like a freedom of speech area, like where
mm-hmm.
like, if you're doing something you can be able to hear.
Yeah.
So I do, being consistent with the American Library Association's like freedom of speech rules and stuff like that, and also just with the First
yeah.
Amendment, it might be something worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or concerns? What about the regarding the library meeting room policy? I'm not sure what that policy is. I didn't see that listed on.
It should be in the packet.
It's right after the code of conduct.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's about four pages.
Also, just so I can clarify, the process, what happens is all of you guys, all of your recommendations, we take, we add it in there, and then it goes to city attorneys.
Yeah.
And that way we get feedback on whether or not we can do it. And then we'll bring it back to you for final approval.
Right. Okay.
On the Otay Ranch Library, it says seating capacity is 50, but the total capacity is 216. Is that based on fire code?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The seating capacity is 50 because that's all how many seats we have.
Okay. That's only that many.
You sit on the floor, yeah. After 50, 51 sits on the floor.
I did have one question
yeah.
about number two, or the bullet point number two on
yes.
the policy. Because the first bullet point says that they're open to groups and organizations engaged in these things. But then the next line, you're not allowing them to have regular meetings, and I was just wondering why.
So out of fairness and equitability, if we do, then certain clubs will book like every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and they'll try to do it for like the whole year, and we'll never have, like, the meeting room will never be available.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to be fair about it. You know, now the ones who have been able to do it are the ones who don't necessarily meet every month. Like, some of them will meet every other month or every quarter.
And even with that, because you can't book it more than 90 days out, that also gives other people a chance. The other thing is, if people book it up regularly and can do it however far it is, they want them when the library goes to actually use it for library programs, it's like,
we
oh,
can't.
It's booked.
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you want to meet, you know, you can meet up to 12 times a year. What I run into is there's a UCSB promotoris group that meets here, and so they have like a monthly meeting here, so they say, okay, for the next 90 days, I'd like to meet this one day a month on this month, next month, and the month after that. And then when we get to 90 days out for another one, okay, these three. So there's like smaller increments you can do it.
Yeah.
But we do, when I was on vacation for 2 weeks, like I'd say 25% of my emails were meeting requests.
Yep.
It's very high demand. And that's on top of the library.
Yes.
So I think people think
that's
it's
all
like,
of ours.
People think
yeah.
it's like this vacant property. Like,
it's like, no.
Well, why couldn't we use it? It's like
yeah.
we constantly are using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. So will you build this new library or remodel the ones that you're going to remodel and we can have different meeting spaces? Because I'm curious. There seems to be a demand. And I know
mm-hmm.
like at the Bonita Library, they have this multi-purpose room
yes.
that can be used for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a nice room.
Yeah.
Because you've got the screens, you've got,
yeah.
you know, but it's not a, you know, your auditorium, while lovely, is kind of too big for
yes.
many people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if there was some way you could split that up maybe or something. I know this isn't.
No, it's okay. It still is. I get it.
It is.
I think, yes, the new library is going to have meeting space galore. We realize that across the city, that there's not really a lot of places that allow free meeting space, too. You're more than likely paying it through a recreation center or even a church hall or whatever. They'll likely ask you for a donation. Now, as far as renovating the ones that we have, there are going to go through some technology changes, which is great. So we should be addressing things like screens and all that other stuff. Unfortunately, we can't do too much because we can only renovate like a failed asset. I can't really like create a brand new space because
sure.
then they'll ding me on my grant.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, the ones that currently will likely get renovated. There's James.
What about the deck? Is the deck part of the meeting space?
No.
Like a, okay.
It's a paid, if you're doing a private event, it's paid.
Oh, okay.
Which it was through a grant through the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
yeah.
why it's the Friendship Park deck and
uh-huh.
rec spaces
that
are
makes
paid.
Sense.
So that's
yeah.
why it's kind of
yeah.
Sorry, I'm late.
It's okay.
It's been one of those days. Plumbing at work went
oh.
off. We had a big flood. And a kid lost his phone at school. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, thank you so much.
Does anybody else have a packet? Okay.
We were just discussing the meeting room policy.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Generally, what is the auditorium used for?
You
concerts
know,
or?
A whole variety of things. There's some nonprofit drug rehabilitation places that
uh-huh.
have their graduations there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a border patrol, uses, I'd say, quarterly for recruitment information. It's a very lengthy application, so they give instructions on that. Once we get the built-in tech fixed, we'd like to have more, you know, movie nights and cultural type things. We have a lot of recitals. We do piano, so piano
mm-hmm.
recitals are big on the weekends. Yeah, through the Great Chula Vista grant, there were a lot of performances that we had there, and I'm sorry, I should have been more prepared, but yeah, I found that 2 hours goes on.
You're fine.
But no, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we even had ARP there at one point, and also just to your point, Carrie, too, like, I've even repurposed our old story time room
to become
like,
a,
if I overflow,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Sorry, but let me put you in there, and I'm trying to work on a grant where I can get some foldable, removable tables for that, so yeah, it's a high demand thing, but yeah, and it's kind of, you know, to your point as well, like, there's even been times where, like there was like a state electric commission that wanted to meet,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, we need 8 people, but I literally only had this open, so they just met in the back of the auditorium, and it was all echoing.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
like if there's a spot, we'll find it for you guys, and yeah, it just varies.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are all the events free of charge? Or
yeah.
some charge events?
Mm-hmm. The
yeah.
only thing that I understand there could be a charge for is if someone gets permission in advance, they could potentially sell a
right.
book, and a portion of that would have to go to the Friends of the Library.
Right.
That's
mm-hmm.
very rare.
Yeah.
yeah.
The rest of it's free.
Have you ever considered a possible speaker series that would be...
We had that last year, actually.
Oh.
Last December, September through December of 2022, Southwestern College had 3 different speakers, and they talked about everything from... one of them was about like what's historically misunderstood about immigration trends.
Right.
Another one was about it was the invention of I'm looking at is anesthesia, and
uh-huh.
it kind of walked through that. And I did reach out to them again this year to see if they do more speaker series, and they were a little inundated. But yeah, I'd absolutely love to do. I haven't been shopping around as much because I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but out back there, it's just a projector on a cart right now, and it doesn't have a sound attachment, so you have to pick, like, do you want to speak with a microphone or do you want a projector?
Yeah.
So I've had people be like, I need to show like a short YouTube clip with sound, and I'm like,
yeah.
you could put the speaker, yeah. So we are working on trying to figure out a way to get that redone, but I'm not trying to make new partners and then be like, but don't present this way, because I want to make a good impression when we have new partners. But I agree, a speaker series would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are so many talented people in
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
community.
For sure.
But and what the mic exposure too, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With a TED talk.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're on 4.3, actually?
Yes,
right.
yes.
Yes, 4.3.
I looked over it myself a few days ago and made some notes. So I think it's okay to possibly jump back to 4.2.
Oh, yeah,
but,
sure.
And maybe you all went over this.
No, that's okay.
So,
go ahead.
I think, and it might be 4.2, it might be 4.3. Or no, it is 4.3. Under 18 can't reserve rooms, right? Under the age of 18.
Yes.
Is there a reason, unless there's a parent, and I'm just asking if there, I'm asking because like I feel like when I was in college or when I was in high school, a meeting room is a place where a lot of students would get together and do group presentations. Has there been a need or are like parents ever coming in and like trying to reserve rooms for students, or has there been an issue where 16-year-olds can't reserve a room? I didn't understand the reason behind.
For a couple of reasons, the reason to have them be 18 or older is because it's not legally binding to have a child
mm-hmm.
sign a document. And then also, I'll use a good example, is part of our meeting room policy has to do with how you, if you're promoting an event and it's not an official partnership, you have to have this disclaimer. Even the adults have a trouble doing that. So like, I have to literally highlight, like, the library reserves the right to cancel
yeah.
your reservation.
Yeah.
I had somebody, I found out that they had applied for one thing, and then they wanted to, like, they showed up with yoga mats and started moving furniture,
and
they had not put the disclaimer, and I was like, there's no disclaimer, and
yeah.
you
oh,
can't
yeah.
do anything medical or physical here.
Yeah.
So, you know, and recently, the one of the high schools had reached out to me, and they wanted to reserve it for their own band book presentation.
Sure.
Which is fine, but I asked for an advisor because she wanted to teach them social media, like this is what you do. So it's
that makes sense.
It's just legally protecting.
That totally makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. Understand.
As far as the form itself, I have filled one of these out in the past for a nonprofit that I work for, where we reserve rooms to do presentations. Have you ever thought about creating an electronic version of the form? I just know for accessibility, for one, I think everyone, at least, I know a lot of people that don't have printers. I know a lot of people that don't have Adobe, right? So signing a document is difficult. So I thought maybe a Google version or a Microsoft Google Doc would, one, probably be easier to, one, for the person signing up for the application, and two, probably for your overall maintenance, right? As far as worrying about paper copies, putting them in a file drawer or something, electronic, boom, goes to a database. Whoever looks at it gets the email, boom, 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 contact. It just seemed easier than sticking with paper, but also I understand it's a library,
yeah.
And paper is the foundation of this building.
it's a great idea. One of the things that we've actually several times researched looking at electronic booking systems.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we're doing as Millennia comes online, which will likely trickle down to all the other branches anyways,
mm-hmm.
is that they have we're looking at a system where your library card would actually be the one to book it, and after we approve it, when you're outside of the meeting room, it actually says what's coming up.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's super cool.
It's just, you know, we stuck with the way that it was from
the
beginning.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's not like we're checking their ID for their signature. So if someone sends me a meeting room and they've, you know, scanned it on there and it's not a wedding signature, I just download it and then electronically attach it to the meeting room reservation.
Gotcha.
Because I don't need more paper in my life.
Yeah, I agree.
I do get people that, you know, I prefer email because then I can put in writing the whole thing about the disclaimer and reminding them, and then we're all on the same page and have a document to refer to. But I do still get people that don't have a printer, don't use the computer.
Yeah, and physically walk in here.
And they walk in, we print
that's
it out,
true.
And then they
fill
it out.
So you print it out.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
makes
so
sense.
It just to be accessible, but
that makes sense.
I would love to have them just sign with your finger or whatever.
Cool.
Yes.
Where are the rules of conduct posted, in the library?
Oh.
There's a couple different places, and it's not this small. They're on larger. They're not me.
It's
pretty
small.
It is.
It's
a large,
It's like a Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
There's one by the, what's it called, by the adult meeting room. There were a couple we had to take down after the children's reno, but we did get a abbreviated version in the children's center. That's really, we had trouble with adults being it's so quiet, I'm just going to hang out here by myself with no child. And one of our rules is you can browse the collection, but you can't just set up camp without a child, just, you know, for safety reasons.
Yeah.
And so now we have two huge signs we printed on Canva that have nice little decorations, and it's just like, no, it's right there. And also you can't go into a children's restroom without a child.
Mm-hmm.
So those ones, if we just put this, we have had this huge one up there before and no one reads it, but the most important ones for staff to be able to point to are at that one there.
So, you know, Roselle actually alluded to violence and stuff that happens. Our staff is so well trained. And at first, when we're addressing issues, unless they're really obviously urgent or safety issue, they're very good. We actually have a very small version of this that's about this big, and then we actually tell you what you did wrong and then slide it over to you.
So we keep it. We circle it.
We try to be very respectful.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to call them out in front of the entire library, but you know, and maybe
it.
They just didn't
know,
you know. So we really try to mitigate, you know, people being angry at first by giving them several warnings before we actually get to that point.
And we're not the stereotype of the librarian that just likes to shush people or whatever.
No.
It's, you know, I like to give people a lot of chances, and, you know, sometimes it's something we're like, just come back tomorrow, or like pull off for a couple hours. We recently had to file a restraining order against a patron, and when the city attorney was talking to the judge and the petition, one of the arguments she made was that librarians have a very high threshold of tolerance. Like, we see a lot of stuff. So, like, if the librarians are concerned, I'm concerned. That was basically her argument. So, yeah, we try to give a lot of warnings and be very respectful.
You know, and on the other end, I will say for the team, we've also seen the reverse, where when someone realizes that, and after all the warnings, they actually do just come in the library and use it for what it's intended.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of days ago, I was up there with Allison, and a patron who's actually, she's had to warn several times, was like, hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
And he just went in and went to use the library. And he's like, I just wanted to say hi. I was like, that's great. So.
Yeah, unless you've done something truly heinous, you really do get like a reset the next day.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay,
yeah.
Fresh day, bring me another chance.
Yep.
Do you have any problem at all with cell phone use? Violating that or abusing?
I haven't here.
Have you?
No, I mean, we'll just have to remind them.
Yeah.
You know, there's areas of the library that we want to try to maintain quiet areas, but
it's mainly people sitting in the lobby here and then having a speakerphone conversation.
Right.
Because acoustically, the lobby just funnels all the sound directly to the library.
Yeah.
And then if there's a program going on, sometimes they're like, well, the kids are making noise. And I'm just like, I know, but like, let's try to take turns. And but that's really the main one, is if they're having a really loud animated conversation in the lobby,
sure.
And then we just ask them to take it outside.
Yeah, I can see flexibility is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crucial. Okay. Any other comments? Other business?
Staff comments?
Staff comments.
Yeah.
So, if you didn't get to meet her, this is Allison Hamlet. She is the branch manager for Civic Center Library. You know, one of the things I actually asked Allison 2 hours ago was like, hey, Allison, what are you doing at 4 o'clock? I think the Board of Trustees would love to meet you. But also because I think Civic is one of the branches that's the busiest, and these two policies she deals with on a daily. Like, daily.
I would say we didn't go into detail in here, but like, we've had full discussions about like number, which is the one, number 20, like how do we say pants without making it clear that it can't be what you choose pants to be?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Like, we've had these conversations.
Yes.
This is very applicable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So brand wrap is not pants.
Yeah.
How do you argue that?
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's why I was like, hey, this is a perfect time for you to come meet them, because your two policies are actually coming up. But we're really happy to have Allison. She's been with us, I don't know, how long has it been?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think we're really excited to announce is if you drive by Millennia Library, we're actually completed with the basement floor. So ground floor, we're already at going vertical, and they actually showed us the entrance already. So we're super excited. So it's going through, and we have all of this year to continue finishing and getting there, and so we're just excited as can be, because that's
very
a big ticket.
Is there drone footage?
Yes, there actually is. They're recording drone footage, so once they have that website up, I'll have Erwin send it to you guys. But it's really exciting, so that's our big thing. Do you want to talk about Otay Ranch?
Sure. The other sort of big thing is that, I'm not sure if we mentioned it the last time, but we will be moving Otay Ranch to another facility within the mall. It's scheduled to happen for us to reopen in the new space on the 12th of February. So it's a pretty quick turnaround time. We anticipate to close for a week in order to move everything over with our IT and get everything over. So we hope to have pretty minimal disruption. The closure date is tentatively set for February 5th. So that's when we'll close for a week, and then plan to reopen on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too far from the current library space, but we will have passport services, and then we'll have the library together in one space rather than the two separate spaces that we currently have. So,
nice.
And it's bigger.
How is the transportation of like books? What does that look like?
So Saran wrap to hold everything really tightly.
The whole thing.
Well, everything's on wheels, so our bookshelves are.
We've done it a couple times.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So just very carefully wrapped to create sturdiness.
Not by us, a mover. We're like buying Saran wrap.
Imagine.
I know. I'm like no. A mover. A mover comes and wraps them all and installs it all. Yeah. It is bigger. It's 4,000 square feet, so it's fairly sizable. I believe we still have the hub.
We still will have
as
the
hub. As an event space or meeting space for people.
For meeting room space. The change is that passports won't be in there anymore, but we will have the hub available for booking. We'll resume all the programs per usual until we get our new home in Millennia.
Yeah,
so we're excited for that. Yeah.
That's going to be, is it
2025?
Five.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 25 is a big year for the city. We have Bayfront and Millennia all opening, so.
Yeah. Are you getting new books for Millennia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't have enough to move. Yeah, we're
and
getting moved out here.
Little tiny aisle.
I know, right? No, we don't have enough.
The Gator won't be finished until 2028 or something.
No, 25.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's set to finish in May to June of that year, and then we are open in the fall. So it's like a couple months difference, and then we're opening too.
Yeah. Ooh. Exciting.
Yeah. Get ready for that ribbon cutting.
Oh, and what about that? The big conference in Convention Center.
Oh, that's this year.
This
you
year.
Want to talk about ALA?
ALA,
that's when?
June.
June, okay.
Yeah, so I'll have Erwin send you guys information on that.
Okay.
It's in June, and it's usually a week long at the Convention Center.
Bringing in libraries from all over the country.
Yes, it's libraries from all over the country. You're obviously going to see a majority of the San Diego ones all there. And you can also see the exhibit hall is probably one of the best things to be able to go to. You get to see all the newest vendors, what's new in libraries. It's kind of neat to see. So I'll have them send you guys information.
Now, do you guys also have like equipment borrowing? Like say, for example, like someone's interested in starting whatever podcast, but they don't know what equipment to use. Like, so can people check out stuff? Like that.
Not currently, but that's a conversation that we're already having with Millennia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the Department of Sustainability with the city have asked us too. Like.
Yeah, we were talking about creating
a gardening tools.
Yeah, creating a tool library. Yeah, for
so,
people.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. And the conversation just started with I needed to cut. It wasn't me. I needed to cut a branch that was really high, but I don't have that one tool. And they were like, oh, it'd be great if we could just
borrow it
just for that one thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've had conversations. There's already things that we have in what's called our Realia or our Library of Things.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things like pickleball sets. You can actually check out the paddles and start try out pickleball. We have the home energy test kit that's over there. I was trying to think. We have a bunch of different things.
We have telescopes.
We have telescopes. We have nature backpacks.
Nature backpacks.
We don't have sewing machines yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what.
But we have quite a bit of stuff already.
Like mics and, you know, like lighting.
Yeah.
You know, to do your own YouTube video or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just stuff that you don't want to spend money on.
I get it.
You want to, you know, test it out.
So we are in the early stages of looking at that. I know that Library of Things was really getting momentum just as a movement with libraries and kind of there's a bit of a break that people hit during COVID. But the main thing you have to think
about
is logistically, like where you're going to store them. Are you going to store them?
Yeah.
That's true.
And then the maintenance.
Maintenance. And then, you know, like I know that I saw someone speak about Berkeley had one of the early Library of Things and they had GoPros and they bought five of them and three were just gone within the first few months.
Oh,
so you got to have plans for like, will we be replaced?
Yeah.
Because at that time GoPros were like $800.
Yeah.
And then also, for instance, like with the sustainability kits, like you have the things that have replenishable items, whether it's like, you know, something with a lens that you have to like kind of wipe, or these ones we have like people that actually take this little thing for their taps to make it more water efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the staff time to like systematically go through the kits and make sure that all the pieces
mm-hmm.
are there.
Mm-hmm.
And so just setting up a good system. So that's the part that's taking time,
yeah.
but it's something we're interested in.
Yeah.
What about like tablets and things like that? Is that something that people can rent?
We have Chromes. Yeah,
and then hotspots are coming out soon too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tablets mainly because the elementary school kids, all of them started getting issued stuff. So we don't really have it. I mean, I think we are looking at definitely some new technologies within the next couple of years. One of the things we addressed with Millennia coming on board is wireless printing, because we want to go that route. The other thing is, you were talking about Chromes. We're likely not going to have a computer lab at Millennia. We're going to have Chromes that you can check out and use anywhere in the library. So that it's just, I think as we're seeing, as much as I'm seeing that people use them, it's a bit different to have to be able to use it and just go anywhere.
Yeah.
Instead of being in that
specific
area.
That makes sense too, right? You have your own like space that you're working in.
Yeah.
And if you do need to have like a large group presentation or event, then you should
exactly.
come around. Otherwise, it's not needed.
Well, and speaking from a public point of view, I've had some of the most interesting conflicts that happen between patrons at the computer. So I love the idea of them having a little
separation.
Bit of space.
Yeah. Because right now, Allison can't say, take that desktop and move over
there.
Like, just stay behind your walls and don't talk
about stop
person.
Looking at them.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Any other things? I think that's it from us.
That's the biggest.
Any other staff comments?
No.
You talking
about lunch at the library?
No. I'll do it the next one.
I don't have any chair comments. I already made mine.
Okay. Trustee?
So
none? Trustee?
I have one comment.
Yeah.
Erwin was supposed to be looking into something.
Yes, unfortunately he had an emergency, so he's out today, but I will look into it and then I will let you all know. It was about the training.
Right.
The ethic training. Yes.
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 Because Carrie doesn't want to do it again.
I don't want to do it again. I know.
She's like, I did my 2 hours.
I will look into it and I'll email you all to let you
know. That's so funny.
Okay.
Okay, it is now what time?
It
is 4:47.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting is adjourned.
Yay.